This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh. And on the line, we have Stephen Innes, head of trading in Asia Pacific for Awanda in Singapore.
Hi, Stephen. It was a rather chaotic week for the markets last week. So do you expect the chaos to continue on for some time, weeks, or maybe even months?
Yeah, good morning, Joyce. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was, seemed like every time I left my desk last week, there was something falling apart in the markets. And, you know, one of the things, though, after many years I've been in this market, I know that these storms seldom, if ever, last forever. And, you know, the recent bout of market mayhem, for sure this too will pass. But, you know, I think we have to isolate what was the real main driver of this. And it seemed to me that it was this crowded positioning, short volatility trades. And therefore, in my view, it was a relatively isolated event which caused the bulk of the market capitulation early last week. But there is a growing picture behind the scene here, and I think this is really U.S. bond yields and the rapid repricing that we're starting to see in the U.S. bond markets, really due to the perception that inflation is coming back in the market and this whole reflation, global reflation narrative. So I think this is still going to weigh negatively on equity positions, but I think we're getting back to the basics now as opposed to you know, more technical trading. Now, to say whether this is going to stop this week, I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, there's still a lot of froth in this equity market. It's really built up on leverage positions, and I really, really can't quantify how much leverage is out there in the markets right now. And I'm almost certain the extended, over-exaggerated moves we've seen in the equity sell-off last week was due to this, you know, high leverage position. So we're going to keep a close eye on it today. Although, you know, we're in holiday market conditions with you know, entering the Chinese Lunar New Year. We have the Carnival starting in South America. And, you know, it's just not a great day to start gathering information. But nonetheless, we're going to keep a close eye on U.S. bond yields and also U.S. equity markets.
Right. And you've described the recent sell-off as a predictable panicked repricing of asset classes. Could you tell us more about this?
Yeah, I think, you know, if we factored out the short volatility trade itself, what we started to see earlier in the year was cash flow models starting to factor in these higher U.S. bond yields. Now, but for some reason, the equity markets just didn't react. It's almost like it needed like some sort of catalyst to tip it over the edge. And I think what was the tipping point was, if you look back at earlier in the month, we had the non-farm payroll number and the wage growth component, which indicated there's a higher level of inflation filtering through the economy than what was expected. And I believe this acted as a catalyst. And then there was that realization, oh, interest rates are going up. And then we had what I refer to a panic repricing across all asset classes, where we saw commodity markets come off the boil with oil prices dropping WTI from $65 level to below 60. We saw gold come off from 1340 all the way down to 1307. And obviously we saw the crunch that these higher interest rates have been manifested into the equity markets. So this is really what I'm talking about, a repricing of a broader based asset markets, which in my view is really predicated on the faster than expected increase in the U.S. interest rates than what the market had factored in to at least this stage in early 2018.
Right, Stephen. So given the current uncertainty, what investments are you betting on?
Well, you know, it's pretty tough. I mean, I look at equity markets right now. If I liked a stock, say, a week ago, and it's 8% lower, I certainly still like it for those same fundamental reasons. So I think there's still elements within the equity markets that remain buoyant. Looking at inflation, possible uptick in inflation that could spread through the economy vis-a-vis the U.S. economic stimulus that's coming, looks to be getting put through by the Trump administration. I would probably be looking to increase a little bit greater holding in gold, although it doesn't look that great right now, but I think it acts as a hedge, one, against inflation, and two, we've started to see an uptick in escalation, geopolitical escalation in the Middle East, and I think this could also, you know, add some glitter to gold prices. So I still basically like what I liked, you know, a month and a half ago. It just had to be making subtle asset rotations perhaps out of the riskier element in the equity markets to more of a slightly heavier weighted in gold positions. So, you know, I wouldn't be changing things around too dramatically right now. But, you know, once again, it would be an increase in gold, an increase in bond, and a slightly decrease in higher risk equity positions.
What about currencies? So moving into currencies, the US dollar ended a 7-week losing streak over the weekend. Do you think this was a blip?
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag last week. You know, there's a potpourri of events, and there wasn't really one convincing driver. But, you know, at the end of the week, sure, the U.S. dollar had made some ground. I think predictably on the higher U.S. yields were really weighing on a significant basket of currencies related to commodity prices. So we saw a lot of the commodity currencies come off the boil. Also, we had a very highly subscribed long euro position in the market, which also came off the boil too. And I think that was more of a technical trade than anything else, because I think investors are still looking to get the euro exposure, long euro exposure in this market. Now, will it continue on? Well, you know, there's this political malaise in Washington that continues to weigh negatively on the U.S. dollar in general, and I think that is going to continue through 2018. However, there's an interesting setup that's occurring right now as far as interest rates are concerned, and this is one of the things that I'm really looking at. For factoring in all this U.S. stimulus to possibly increase U.S. GDP upwards of about 1.5% over the next, say, 6 to 9 months, I find it struggling here to see how the Federal Reserve Board can maintain a 3-dot plot interest rate level. To me, it would have to go higher, you know, towards 4, maybe even 5, if we start factoring in, you know, all this froth that could permeate through the market through 1, the tax reform, 2, infrastructure spending, and 3, the budget itself. So I'm going to keep an eye on what the Federal Reserve Board is doing. And, you know, I'm really keen to see what Jerome Powell has in store. I don't think he wants to come across as a pushover. I don't think there's going to be that Jerome Powell put in place. In other words, I don't think the Federal Reserve Board are going to come across dovish because of all this equity market turmoil. I think he's going to come out with some real backbone here and actually, you know, set a point here that we are going to move interest rates. Now, how far that goes, we have to be really cognizant. But I think this brings a stronger U.S. dollar narrative into play for 2018. I'm not saying I'm turning U.S. dollar bullish. I'm saying we have to be cognizant of where the Federal Reserve Board goes with interest rates.
What about currencies in the emerging markets? What's your take on them in the current uncertain environment?
Well, there's a couple of things. Obviously, the faster pace of interest rates rise in the U.S. is probably the biggest headwind that regional currencies face. But interest rates are only one component of the emerging market trade. The bigger component is the equity markets, and I think the equity markets are still going to play positively. Am I going to look for the similar appreciation that we saw in 2017 and 2018? Absolutely not. That's not going to happen. I simply think with a higher interest rate environment globally, that it'll sort of curb flows into emerging market currencies. However, I still think there's an element that's going to be supportive of emerging market currencies, and that will be one will be the equity market. So I still think, as far as emerging market currencies go, I think you know, certain pockets are still going to remain in favor, especially if we factor in this strong global growth narrative in the background.
Well, looking ahead, a couple of macroeconomic data will be coming out this week, such as GDP numbers for Singapore, Malaysia, and Japan. What can we expect here?
Yeah, well, you know, the Malaysian economy continues to churn really well. I mean, you know, there's looking around about 5.8% print year to year. I'm actually thinking it may come out a little bit higher, so I'm going to go in an outlier above 6%. I think this should be good for the ringgit. However, you know, my longer term views on the ringgit were somewhat dented by a more dovish inference to inflation at the last monetary policy meeting. So, you know, I'm not saying we've seen the best for the ringgit. I think we're going to see a gradual appreciation of the ringgit through 2018. especially after this U.S. market tumult eventually ends. But I think it's going to be a more gradual pace, and we really, really need to see the monetary policy kick in. I know we're not going to have an interest rate hike in March, but I think a June hike is a possibility, especially if we have some sort of underbelly of inflation hitting the economy. So that's something I'm looking for in Malaysia. Singapore, I think the export markets are just unsustainable. I think we had a big bounce in the electronic components over the last few months, so I don't think that's going to be sustainable. So I think we may come off the boil there. And Japan's economy is being very, very resilient these days. Obviously, the weaker yuan over the past year has absolutely helped the economy out relative to other countries. So, especially other countries in the region that whose currencies have appreciated. So, I think that the Japanese economy still stands up fairly well.
Well, thank you for your insight, Stephen. That was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific in Rwanda and Singapore.
And we'll be back with a look at the EPF as well as the bear market. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.